And I don't hear really anything.
Have a,
Greg, you going to do the contract?
Sure. All right, next we have, there's actually two contracts. One is for our public defender, and which runs, it's a six-month contract until the end of the year, and the second contract is what's called the Public Defender Conflict Council. If the public defender has represented someone before and if they have a conflict, then we actually contract with a third party to come in those rare instances to allow the defense to have kind of an unbiased defense. But this is for both our public defender as well as our public defender conflict council. Question?
Not a question. I make the motion that we approve the public defender contracts. Second.
Okay, motion. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Passes 6-0.
Yep.
We got both the contracts?
Yep.
Okay. Resolution, Molloy Heights preliminary plat, closed record public meeting. Open.
Oh, good.
Good evening, City Council. Haley Miller, Associate Planner for the City of Ferndale. Tonight, we are bringing forward to you a preliminary plat, plan unit development application for your consideration, followed by a closed record public meeting. So I'll just do a brief overview of the project, and then we'll go from there. So the Molloy Heights PUD is located in the 6200 block of Ferndale. So on the west side of the subdivision, we have the Glacier View subdivision. Oh, that's Vista Ridge. I'm sorry. Vista Ridge subdivision to the north. It's properties in the county. To the east, we have Molloy Avenue, and then further east is the Molloy Village plan unit development. And to the south is the Glacier View subdivision. So the applicant proposes to subdivide into 192 single-family detached residential lots. A low-impact development pond is proposed for the development, and then a series of 8 open space tracts. And throughout the open space tracts, there are some trail connections that go to the subdivision to the west. The center open space tract has a wetland and a trail component to it. The open space tract D, right there, will be a community garden, and it does actually have a trail access that comes out by the cul-de-sac. And then the Northern Creek Corridor does have a critical area and stream, and there are trails proposed up in that area. There is also a variance request for this to reduce the front setback on all lots from 20 feet to 15 feet for the portions of the houses that do not contain the garage or the driveway. So I can answer other questions if you guys have about the project, if you would like me to. For the review process, City Council has the authority to grant or deny this PUD. You have the final decision on the preliminary plat, so you can grant approval, deny the PUD, or return the PUD to the hearing examiner to further develop the record. So the record in the large staff report that you have is established, and that's what City Council is to base its decision on. Staff is aware that there was a letter related to the Molloy Heights project that was forwarded to City Council prior to the hearing examiner meeting from an adjacent property owner. If any additional ex parte communication or conversations outside of this that were related to the project, we ask that this be disclosed during the meeting. So staff believes that this project meets all the procedural requirements, and we are recommending approval along with the hearing examiner. And if council does approve tonight, it will initiate the next stage in the process, which would be the applicant proceeding with civil plan review and then ultimately developing the project.
Councilmember?
I'm assuming that the hearing examiner approved the variance for the 15, and can you show me on the map where the variance would be, which houses, or can you not tell from that?
It would be all the houses of the development, so they'd be able to.
Oh, so all the houses would have the 15
foot. Part of the building
would
be 15 feet away from the property line, and then the portion with the driveway would be 20 feet back. So it's just
Varying
the building setbacks.
Okay, now I understand. Thank you.
Anybody else? And do I hear a motion?
Sure. Move to approve.
Second.
I think it's a tie, but I'll let you pick it. Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, Haley. Next.
Okay, so I am bringing forward to council a request to increase the park maintenance budget as a budget amendment request. The request is for two different amounts, and we can discuss from there. So $15,000 to $45,000. The Parks Board has identified kind of some key things that are vital for right now. At the end of the budget season last November, December, we decided if there was a surplus, we would then decide if more money could be spent on parks, and there was a surplus. So Parks Board has identified some main things that should be done right now, and then of course they will bring more forward for next year. So chips is a major one that quite a few of the parks need. New Star Park needs another full truck, Flair Park and Vista Ridge for sure. There's also several parks that have the little gravel as well, and some of those need new gravel. Swings get a nice little puddle underneath as it rains. Another project is the basketball hoops. There's a photo in here. This is what most of them look like at every park. So Public Works has said they can keep them down and sandblast them and either paint them or powder coat them. And that's something that potentially volunteers could help with. We could probably spread chips easier than paint backboards, but I'm willing to do it. Parks Board has also identified several swing couplings that they feel should be replaced. And yes, and the gravel, so that one. Okay, so the cost of those items would be about $15,000. There's a lovely picture of Flair, which just needs more chips, kind of receding away from the swings and around the edges. And it's a little squishy in some spots. Public Works has identified three additional items that will need extra funds above and beyond what has been allocated for the maintenance budget for this year. Repair of deferred maintenance of the irrigation system at Chronicle Complex. This is the only one that Kevin provided a cost for estimate-wise, and that was $30,000, which would result in an additional $5,000 per year to continue with that upgrade. The other two items were filtration and of the Riverwalk Fountain and upgrades to the water main in Pioneer Park. And those I don't have figures for, so.
Yeah, and we're going to be meeting shortly with the consultant that we were working with the fountain, looking at doing some upgrades to that and identifying a cost and a pathway forward for that. And then the water main at the Pioneer Park is currently a 2-inch PVC line that needs to be upgraded because we end up having quite a few breaks on that line. We need to address that.
So I wanted to bring this for discussion. I would like to ask for a minimum of the 15 to do the chips and the gravel and the swings and the backboards for this season, and further discussion on the irrigation system.
I guess my question is for staff, because I know we had, what was it, $700,000 worth of road damage. So even though we had money left over from the 2016 budget, is all that really gone for the road damage? Either one of you.
Currently, we're going forward with the TIB repairs, and I know that I had mentioned that to council that we had gone out for a grant application with the Transportation Improvement Board, and we were awarded $50,000 for worth of work with a 15% match that the city was going to have to come up with. We're proceeding forward with that, utilizing city crews doing the cutting and the dig out of those areas and then going back in, having a contractor come in and pave those. But I don't have an additional list of repairs that we would be undertaking for this year. So to the extent that we've, you know, allocated those funds to any kind of a road project, that has not occurred.
Part of the thought was that since TIB did have that grant opportunity, we wanted to see how it would work as far as the crew doing the cutouts and then the contractor following on to actually do the infill, if you will, just to see if it's an efficient way to do it, if it's a good use of our crew, whether it's something that we should consider doing again in tandem or whether it's something that we should maybe take on ourselves or, for that matter, contract out both the saw cutting as well as the entire project. So this is kind of a trial balloon at some of the worst areas in town, and we'd probably then come back if it was successful and give you an idea of both whether we thought this combined effort was worth it as well as then what our next level of repairs would be.
Okay. I don't see a breakdown of the cost, but $15,000 for two truckloads of wood chips and gravel seems rather high. Do we have staff labor built into this, or do you know?
A lot of the times, it depends on what vendor we get the chips from. We can have a vendor that will bring them out and blow them into place. Other times we can have them dumped and they can be spread by hand. The chips themselves are about $15 per cubic yard, with a truck being 150 cubic yards of chips. So it's not an insignificant sum to bring in material. As Councilwoman Czar had indicated, you know, she was discussing bringing in a load of chips for Star Park and then another load of chips for Flair Park and for Vista Ridge. So we do have the ability to utilize multiple loads within the parks, as well as the pea gravel that's in place in other parks throughout the town.
Can we go back to the dump truck carries how many cubic yards?
It's a 48-foot semi.
It's huge. And they actually, then
blow
they,
it out.
They have like a fire hose size, actually bigger than a fire hose.
Yeah.
It's more than a dump truck.
It's a 48-foot semi-trailer, yeah.
Then how much per load, please? $1,500?
Yeah, about $3,000 to $6,000 a load.
Mm-hmm. And they're engineered chips.
Yeah, that's one thing that I want to throw out is that it's we're not just putting a mulch. It is an engineered chip that's to a specification that provides cushioning when children land on it. And so there's a thickness that they're intended to be put into, and you know, they need to be kept up on. It's not something that we can continue to defer once we get down to a layer. It doesn't create the safe landing surface that they're intended to, so it's good to keep up on that as a regular item.
So how much of this is a safety issue? I think, and we gave them a certain budget because we only had so much this year, but if there's a safety issue, I think we would hit the safety issues first. I mean, it might not look nice, the backboard's not nice, and maybe the crew could help. And we just did that thing that you did with the park on Saturday, which was very successful, where volunteers came, we gave them the equipment. So, I mean, they can't make wood chips, but we could certainly paint.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is, while I'm very proud of the work that we've done with our volunteer cleanups, there's a limitation that we can do with bagels, coffee, and volunteers.
Okay.
And, I mean, when we talk about the amount of money that we have allocated to the parks this year, you know, as Councilwoman Czar had indicated, it was $16,000 that was put aside for operating supplies and maintenance materials, and it's just not enough to address all the maintenance needs within the park. So I think that, you know, augmenting that with additional funds would really go a long way for us and benefit the parks. We could spend considerably more than that if we had the resources available to us. And, you know, obviously we'll be good stewards of the resource. It's just that we, you know, run up against a limit of the things that we have available. I know that in speaking with Bo and the Conoco complex is that the irrigation system that's down there has been one that maintenance has been deferred on for a long time. We can go through and replace broken sprinkler heads and broken sprinkler pipes and address that system. And it's something that's a continuing maintenance item. So that's one that hasn't been addressed. We do need to bring in material for the infields and outfields. You know, we need to address the grass condition at the Conoco field. So, I mean, there are a lot of places that not, you know, the individual neighborhood parks as well as the larger complex that we, you know, have the families that come down and play baseball and soccer and all the games that are down there, and being a good steward to that resource.
So we, oh, I apologize.
Go ahead.
So we had talked about, we had a certain amount of money set aside for the new bathrooms at Star Park, and I thought we weren't going to quite spend all that amount. So in the budget-wise, or are we not, am I misremembering? Because at one point we had set aside money in the 2016 budget to do the bathrooms, and we didn't use all of it. So I'm just, I guess maybe it's a circa question. Is this new money going to come out of our general fund, or is there some leftover money in public works that, I'm trying to figure out if it's going to come out of the general fund. I'm a little more uncomfortable just pulling it out of the general fund.
It would come out of the general fund. Mm-hmm. And okay. I do know we did set aside money for the restrooms. Mm-hmm. I do not know how much has been spent.
I believe the number was $60,000 that was set aside for that. And we do have, we will expend close to that for the entire project. Now, once that's completed we get the final cost accounting for it. It may come in a little bit less than that, but I'm anticipating it's going to be.
Because I'm comfortable with the engineered wood chips and the gravel because that's not something volunteers can do. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of us, we just volunteer to spend our summer helping with the parks.
This is what, two parks for the wood chips and the gravel?
Three
of them, okay. How long do these, I know it probably depends on how much they're used, but is there an average lifespan of the chips?
It depends on the drainage that's in the site, the environmental conditions, you know, decay being one of the factors, packing down being another one from use. So I don't think that I can give you, you know, an average, but the intent is that we would go through on an annual or biannual basis and augment that chip capacity to maintain the depth and absorption capacity within the mat.
Pacific Highlands does ours every year. Yeah. We get new chips. We get the machine that fluffs them up, and then we put brand new chips down because they just get squashed down. So we have to do it every year for our little park.
Okay. And it is a safety issue when you talk about chips because kids jump.
Yes,
up
and if it's this much difference, it makes you. Well, we don't need that big of a truck. We just get like a regular dump truck. Like, you know, when someone delivers mulch to your backyard, that's the kind of size truck we get. We don't spend that kind of money.
Yuri's probably going to have to correct me, but I think we put four loads of chips into Star Park. Five loads into Star Park alone, which, and it is a large park, but they do go, like, not nearly as far as you think they do.
No.
And with the engineered wood chips, there are very few suppliers. The supplier that we got the chips for Star Park came out of Canada. I believe there are two, one in Abbotsford and one, but there were two suppliers that were up in Canada, and I believe the other one is out of Portland.
So with the new tariff on the Canadian pine, are we going to?
So
it's tough. I just bought lumber for a deck, and it's sky high.
I mean, the prices have gone up. Because the tariff.
So, and the quotes that we had were the ones that we are a year old and are stale because they were the pricing that we had that was associated with the Star Park construction, which was the most recent chip purchase that we had done. Additionally, with that, if we order smaller quantities, we end up paying higher shipping charges because we did do a half load for Star Park and ended up paying, you know, quite a bit more for the shipping than we did with the full load. So I think that, you know, going with full loads of the chips and then having the ability to get those spread and do multiple parks. And I know that there are parks that could benefit from chips in addition to the one. I know that we could probably do some over at Michael Moore. I know that we have some drainage issues that we need to address over there. You know, it's not an isolated thing that the park needs to have chips in it. So Public Works is supportive of the request for doing the chips to the greatest extent possible. So whatever resources council is willing to free up on the chip side, I think that we can put to good use within the parks.
But we don't even have a current estimate. This $15,000, we don't even know if that's going to cover anything.
Usually we get an official budget amendment with, like, we need this much more from this fund to go to this to pay for that. You know, like an official budget amendment, so we would know the exact amount, where it was coming from, exactly where it was going. And I appreciate the conversation. I think I'd rather have an official, so we
current estimate.
Current estimate.
I mean, we could update the estimate and bring it to the next committee and then put it actually as a budget amendment on the council agenda. I was just going to say that it looks like if we were to do this sort of effort, assuming that we could do three parks for $15,000, it would probably take, 3 years or so to do all the parks. So I could see us probably on a rotating basis. By the time we got to the third year in the last park, we probably need to maybe come back to that first park again. So I know we're only looking one time, but it might work out that this $15,000 would be almost an annual rotating basis. But I guess we'd have to just see how some parks are bigger than others and they have more chip areas than others and they're more heavily used. So that's just kind of a gross back of the napkin time.
Councilmember Taylor.
I was just going to ask about the filtration and disinfection at the Riverwalk.
Yeah, I was curious.
With the summer coming, the kids swimming in that. I mean, can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Currently, the park fountain uses a UV sterilization and a pump system with pool filtration. And we've identified that the plumbing is not optimal for that, the way that the plumbing, the way the water is filtered through, that causes increased wear on the pumps that are associated with that system. So we had a consultant come in and look at it and trying to give us a better understanding of how the system could be plumbed so that it would give us longer life on the pumps and provide for better filtration within the system. And then also looking at maybe stepping away from the UV sterilization, going towards a chlorine-based sterilization so that we had more residual sterilization within that. People are playing in it. It's out in the elements, and I think that we need to address that system to make sure that we have as safe a system as possible for the residents of the city.
The fountain was originally envisioned as more of a decorative feature, because if you remember, we were going to have a large aluminum salmon in the middle of it, which would have precluded kids, running through it. Our maintenance folks have done an unbelievable job over the last 8-10 years of getting that thing to work, because it never really was sized and designed for the kind of splash park, if you will, that it's evolved into. And they've had to go through and come up with a pretty innovative way to screen out debris and everything else. And then, of course, every so often we get some bubbles in there, but that's not such a huge issue. But so I guess, long story short, we've enjoyed that amenity for a long time. I love when I go by and see the kids playing in it. What we probably need to do is replace it completely. And that's something that we would probably need to have some experts come in, give us a real good budget and design, and roll it into one of our budgets, possibly for next year.
Hopefully in the winter, or we'll all be killed.
Don't replace it in July. That's not.
Yeah. If you mess with the Ferndale Water Park,
those little kids are fast. They'll chase you down.
We'll put a garden hose out there.
So is this something that you is this something we need to do now? I mean, are we talking like fecal issues or
as far as the Riverwalk fountain, yeah. We're going to continue to assess
the
fountain
monitoring and the water quality.
Well, yeah, we are, and like I said, we had the pool the consultant come in and talk with us a little bit about doing some modifications to it, and then we're furthering that discussion. So we're in the formative stages of it right now. I anticipate they were having a little bit of problem getting it scheduled. He had been on vacation and was coming back, so I anticipate that within the next month or so that we'll be able to meet with them and come up with a little bit more understanding of what the scope of the project is going to be and the level of modifications that we need to make.
So are you going to put this in your 2018 budget request that you're giving to CIRCA, or are you going to bring it to us as a budget amendment to try and do?
Well, I think what we'd like to do is find out the scope and scale of what we really need to do, because it's a great amenity, and it's something that we want to enjoy for a long time, so it needs to be redone and redone right. It probably would be best to do it in the winter when it's not being used. Not maybe the dead of the winter, but certainly when not this time of year when the kids are down there with their blankets and getting ready to have fun.
Cute.
Exactly. So as soon as we can pull together, I think, enough information to make a fairly good decision, we'll bring it to you, because I think it's something that we don't want to wait until we formulate the budget this fall, because by the time you schedule, it'll probably be spring, and now we're getting into the season when the kids are actually looking forward to using it.
Mm-hmm. So I guess my question back to the BART then, I mean, I think we want to do the BART, but because we're not meeting again that first week in July, we're not going to have another council committee until July 12th. And so even if we improved it, we wouldn't approve it till July 17th, and then you would have to go out to bid. And so
I don't think you would need a bid for that, would you?
We just call for quotes.
Yeah, we just call.
Okay. We just see quotes.
So could you have something ready for the 12th for
the committees on the 12th?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that would be finance.
Yeah, probably. Finance. I would think we could.
Yeah, because it would be a budget amendment. I'd have to go through finance.
Gives you a lot of time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and yeah. We probably also probably find out their availability, because you know they need to
gravel
truck it
as
down
well.
Here.
Then, because you also needed gravel. Okay.
Yeah, we can firm up the cost estimates and bring back those, as well as the timing, to be sure that the chips will be actually available.
And will staff be doing that, because I had a very hard time getting information this time around. So you'll be bringing back those exact figures?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thanks, Rebecca.
All right.
That concludes everything. I have nothing.
I want to invite all of you to the amateur radio group every year. There's a field day, and this is going to be on this Saturday, and it's going to be out in Van Zandt. And if you'd like to come, it's at 5491 Potter Road in Van Zandt, and it's from 11 a.m. Saturday through 11 a.m. Sunday. It's a good chance. Hams everywhere all around the country. They'll set up a station. You go out in the middle of a field, set up your station, put up your towers, and pretend there's been a major emergency and try and talk to each other. We will be in, some of us are going to go out to Van Zandt, but some of us are also going to be in the Emergency Operations Center at our station, and we may take the comm van out as well, just to practice. So all of you are welcome.
Any other council?
Community meal, sorry. 10 a.m. Saturday, pizza.
Kevin?
The only thing that I was going to bring up was the TIB emergency repair work. That with the lack of a council meeting, we are going out for a small works roster bid for the company to come in and do the follow-up paving to our dig out on that. So there's a little bit of time crunch implications with that. We do have a deadline of getting that work done by October 31st, and I'm still need to get in contact with TIB to determine whether or not the state shutdown is going to impact that one as well. So,
okay.
We'll see.
Finance.
Nothing. Almost
it? I know. You always have something.
Yeah, but they're always short and quick, which is the same thing. This last Saturday, Oxford Park, we did the park cleanup. We had 28 people come out. I want to give a thanks to our public works crew who did some of the prep work to make that a success. And, of course, Councilmember Czar for spearheading that effort. We painted the play equipment, fixed the fence, weeded the gully, and it looks beautiful. I was really happy to see the neighbors come out and support their park. And, of course, July is the kickoff of the Great Ferndale Treasure Hunt, which I'm sure you all will be participating in. You can pick up your scorecard at City Hall. The first clue is broadcast July 1st and proceeding throughout the month. Winners are announced at the Old Settlers Picnic, and it's arguably the best thing you can do this month. So.
The things you do for this job.
Limits?
No.
City administrator. Chief. Okay, that concludes everything. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We are adjourned.
Right on. She got 803. Spot on.